Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Good morning. Welcome to the net. You are on Free on the Inside. I pray you enjoyed our intro. Are you ready? Are you ready to make a difference? Are you ready to help change life? Are you ready to help change the life of a community, of a nation, of a country? Are you ready? And I pray that you are, because there's so much going on in this day and time. We need men and women to stand in the gap. We need men and women of purpose. We need men and women that have been tried and tested and has been successful to a certain level. And this morning, we'd like to continue that thought pattern there with our guest on this morning. I love our guest. She's a community activist. She's very engaged in the community and society as a whole. But before we bring her on here, we'd just like to properly introduce you to our program and encourage you to keep calling. You're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. And also, this show is sponsored by Granny's Place Ministry. Beverly Beatley is the CEO of Granny's Place Ministry. Granny's Place Ministry is a nonprofit ministry meeting the needs of at-risk families and young men and women. Granny's Place Ministry has adopted an apartment unit in the Mesquite area of Dallas, Texas, at the Creekside Villa apartment. We go over several times a month with information they can use with assisting the residents to job placement, education, and job readiness skills. And you too can be a part of Granny Place Ministry. Go to our website, grannyplaceministry.org, and get more information and sign up to help change a life. Are you ready to make a difference in someone's life? At this time here, I'd like to bring on our guest this morning. I'm excited about our guest. She's no stranger to Blog Talk Radio, to Free on the Inside, and I consider her as being my friend. At the next voice you'll hear will be Ms. Carol Reed, community activist. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Joe. Good morning, everyone, to all the audience of Free on the In on the Inside. Thank y'all for having me this morning. I appreciate it, brother.
No, we thank you. We thank you. We realize that we are so busy in this day and time, and yet you're willing to lay down some of the things that you have a desire to do, some of your own self-interest, to come out and share with us some things that are dear to your heart, some things that we could be involved in, and things that we need to be known more aware of. So, Carol, please introduce yourself and tell us about what you're doing in this day and time.
Well, I like to try to keep activism or be a greater man in spirit towards things that I think matter the most and things that are kind of really significant and are playing out on the grand stage today. We have had a lot of recent events that have happened across the country, you know, regarding the Black Lives Matter movement, regarding the slaughter of innocent police officers. Our blue lives have been victims of crime. The whole string of politics that go back between that and how race relations is playing its role out in that area. And just so many things that are going on that I think that are worth discussing and getting opinions about. And just pulling and talking about a little bit more, I think the dynamics of a lot of these issues have changed recently with current events that have changed. So, you know, every now and then we just need to stop and revisit some of those subjects and topics and talk about where do we go from here, from now, based on what has happened just yesterday, just last week, just the last month. So I believe that Brother Joe mentioned to me the Black Lives Matter movement and how and where we are going with that today. I am a supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement. I appreciate the efforts to bring a very important issue to the forefront. I want to say this is probably the one organization that has been able to do that in a while. It's an issue that the police brutality against African Americans, Latinos, and other minorities, and even poor whites has been a problem in this country for a very, very long time. And we've had an issue with how to make that a valid point, and we've struggled with that over time. And so with the interest of technology and being able to record things and Facebook and things like that, being able to publish it, not having to wait on the local news to put it out there, but we can put it out there ourselves, has now forced us to address these issues. And we can say, and I tell a lot of people, I'm going to preface it with that, not all police officers are bad police officers. I would say the majority, really 90-something percent probably, are the really great cops that are there to protect and serve just under the oath that they took. But we have to embrace embrace the fact that there is such thing as a bad police officer. There is such thing as a bad cop. And those are the ones who are making people victims in their own communities. And the problem with that, until we embrace that, you know, this problem is going to continue. And people will say, well, that's just a small number of individuals. It is a small number of individuals, but it's enough that it is noticeable, that it's an issue, that it's a problem. So at this time, we need to address it. And again, things have changed about that. There's been a new element. We've had the targeting of our police officers as a result of, you know, just some individuals, not the group itself. I told Brother Joel I was able to go down on that Friday and to pay my respects to the fallen police officers, and we took flowers down to put on that memorial. And while down there, I was in an interview with the local news, and I expressed to them that the killing of innocent officers in the street is not the justice that Black Lives Matter seeks. That's not it. They're seeking to the prosecution cops who violate the civil rights of individuals who abuse their power, and we are seeking the prosecution of those cops, stop the rehiring, firing, and rehiring of those police officers, stop the having off with pay, stop that, never to let them allow to be officers again, and you know maybe even some every now and then checkpoints on where their mental status is, you know, because you can become pretty hard as a police officer and get into see a lot of it. I have a lot of police, law enforcement officers, friends, and family, and whatever. I support them. I think we all should. But, you know, this is kind of the stuff that we need to start talking about. And we don't want to, I hate to see Black Lives Matter take on the image that they're the ones who are inciting violence against police officers. I don't want that to be the case at all. And but at the same time, the movement, the mission behind the movement is very valid.
Yes, and it's definitely needed. Now, you said something that I was just thinking about a few minutes ago. You said that we have to be able to identify and weed out those undesirable officers that's in a position of authority. How do we go about doing that in a civil, manageable way as a society and as a community?
Well, you know, worked on projects together in the past, and so our main focus is to help, you know, young Black African American males coming up in this community, and not just them, you know, poor, Latinos and poor whites. Young men are the primary targets of police brutality, as we all know. And one of the things that I've gone back and had many a debates with, you know, cohorts of mine about this issue and how do we address that. When we run across a police officer that potentially is out there to abuse his power and to perpetrate crimes upon people innocently, and, you know, that put a lot of the people's lives in danger, one way is we have to adopt the attitude that we ourselves need to take on. We can't be too prideful in this situation, you know, because the Bible says God hates pride, and there's a reason for it. Pride can block you in many ways. But we have to just kind of come down and take that pride out and figure out a way to defuse the situation to save our own lives. Because when it comes down to it, they are given discretionary power by the state, by the government, to make a decision to stop you, to pull you over, what they call probable cause, to see and investigate you. Okay, they have that right to do so, but you have rights as well. But when you go to voice those rights, there's got to be a way we got to do it. First, when we're in custody with police officers, and unfortunately, a lot of people know this and some people don't, there is an official government document that has been on the federal document at that, based on some research, that instructs a black man how to drive his own high-end vehicle, how to drive into his own expensive neighborhood, how to do all these things while so that when a police officer pulls him over. It's called Driving While Black. Why is there a manual that tells a black man how to act with the police when he's pulled over because he's in his expensive car, he drives in his neighborhood that he works hard for? Why is there a document? There's not one Driving While White. There's not one Driving While Asian. There's not one Driving While. It's just one Driving While Black, and that document is real. Now, but I want to say that when we find ourselves in that position, and as I've had to sit down and every time and have this conversation with my nephews or young black males that I work with in the community, I said, listen, you know, it's a matter of survival first. Survive that incident. When they pull you over, keep your hands visible. Don't make no sudden moves. Have your hands on the dashboard or the steering wheel, but comply. Just comply doesn't mean bow down, and we know they're in the wrong. We know it, but unfortunately, with the season that we're going through, with people who are intimidated and afraid of African American males, they are afraid on their jobs, and those are the people that need to go find them something else to do. They need another profession, but unfortunately, while they're there, we got to learn to deal with those individuals. So what we want to do is keep that situation as calm as possible, because think of it this way. Get through this scenario alive and then deal with them afterwards. And that's what I tell them. Stay calm. They ask you, and now sometimes they'll ask you the craziest questions, and you're just like, really? But just go ahead and answer their question. Yes, sir. No, sir. Comply. Do what they want you to do. Keep your hands safe. Whatever the case may be, get through it. You record it if you can. Have that on video. And then get their ask, you know, you need their off the. Pay attention to the name of the officers and make a mental note of that. Get that, and after that, go and file a proper grievance against them. Maybe get yourself an attorney and maybe even a lawsuit and deal with them that way. Sometimes hitting them in their pocket works. If you do enough of that, maybe that's when they'll start removing costs. But the bottom line is, when we get into confrontations with these police officers, the bad ones we talk about, We it's going to be a while before we can weed them out, Brother Joel, and answering your question, because the country has got to say, we've got to, once we start putting back these abusive police officers who kill innocent African-American males in the streets, once we start prosecuting them and putting them in jail, then that should maybe and hopefully will be a deterrent to other police officers who seek to abuse their power. If you're going to kill innocent people in the streets and get away with it like you have done for many, 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 many years, since the beginning of time, then you're going to go to jail and you're going to be in there with real criminals and you're going to face the consequences that people that you put in jail face. When you kill, when we kill, we go to jail, and we go to jail heavily. We've gone to jail in high numbers, and we've gone to jail for the rest of our lives if we kill somebody. Yeah. Not even if we kill somebody, if we just shoot somebody or hurt somebody, we go there for a long time. So why isn't a bad police officer shouldn't do the same thing? So until we can get our courts, one thing we got to do, use your power to vote. And I mean that starting right now.
That's so true. I want to just pause here for a second and give our call-in number. Mm-hmm. And number, if you care to join this conversation, is 310-982-4126. You too could join in this conversation. We're speaking with Carol Reed, the community activist, and she's giving us some important information on how to govern ourselves, what we could do to make a change and have an effective change, not just a change, but an effective change. Now, Carolyn, you said some things there that I've been thinking. I love this type of conversation. I love this line of dialogue, girl. Mm-hmm. Because when I was younger, but the things that we're facing today, they're no different than when I was a teenager. You know, driving mm-hmm. I'm a young man, and now I'm old, and I see mm-hmm. now my kids and grandkids are facing the same thing. And at one time, we had people that were very active. I'm talking about visibly active, not just active when mm-hmm. something happened. You know, it's always good to go be out front when things happen, but in the background, when things seem to be calm, but underneath the waves or something, if I can put it that way, you know. But our police chief made a statement, and I'm pretty sure they've been making statements across the country, but here in Dallas, said, if you want to have an effective change, come and join us. be a police officer. Yes. Is that realistic based on our background, our interaction with the police? It sounds good, but is that realistic?
You know what? That's a very good question. And surprisingly, they received over 500 applicants after he made that call. 500 applications came in. They didn't say that they didn't speak about the demographics of those 500 applicants to them, wondering if they were mostly African American or people of color or what they were. But 500 applicants came into the city of Dallas to become police officers. And the situation is, Is that realistic? If for those of us who meet the criteria and everything, I think it is realistic. And I think that we can do that. And maybe, just maybe, we do need to start becoming, we need to get behind that badge in our own community because we know our community and we know those who live there and we know those officials. Now we'll go on to say that there are white and black police officers in the city of Dallas who have really good relationships with people that are, we know my mom used to send out bowls of stew for a couple of police officers that we knew in the neighborhood. And, and they were like, your mom could. We're like, yeah, we'll get y'all something. And, we have that type of connection. I want to say in a lot of parts of Dallas, that's working. In some places, that is not. But when you talk about throughout the state of Texas, Dallas, the focal point came up because we lost those officers in such a very tragic way. Every time I think about it, it wears me out. But Texas-wide, we still have these problems. We talk about how Sandra Bland ended up dead in her cell. And it's suspect, and it's something wrong with that, and we know that situation wasn't right. So it's only a question that's still unanswered about that. But the problem is we can be a part of the solution, and I'm all for that. If you can be a part of the solution, we can't sit back all the time and just complain about, oh, they're doing this and they're doing that. But if I meet the criteria of becoming a police officer, because you got to say, for the majority of those really good officers out there, that 95% or so, 90% or so officers out there doing a good job, we have to take our hats off of them. So there's a whole bunch of people running down to sign up for a job where when we're running away from a bad situation, they're running towards it, where they're the ones who will go in and deal with the bad guy who's got a gun. It takes a special kind of person to do that. But if you have that in you and that's something that you feel like, I want to make a difference in my community, I want to be the one to go in and police my community, then by all means, yes, go on down there and sign up. And there shouldn't be no problem. He made the call, and if we come down there, don't be looking around like you don't know what we're talking about. You said if we wanted to be a part of the problem, come on down here and sign up. So where is my application?
And based on a prior experience with with our police officer and the officials, with a background, it's a very excessive background. Are they willing to, based on your experience now, are they willing to waiver some of the little minor things, that you may have? Because a lot of times, unless you do a background check, you can have any little thing that doesn't meet their criteria. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can come on out, but you got this, this, and this. And a lot of our men of color have been incarcerated. Have some time, whether they have done it in their youth or as an adult. How can we offset that? You can tell me to come on, but then, hey, you're not qualified. Are they making amends? What do you know about that?
Well, I happened to work for the Department of Homeland Security and ICE before for some years, and the background check to come work for the United States government is very extensive, and it does go back so many years. And I don't know what the policy or the requirements for the Dallas Police Department, but I would gather that they're somewhere similar. I would say that, if you have a criminal background, then it's probably going to be a little bit more difficult for you to be a police officer and come to that. I think they may even have a time frame cap on it. Like with the government, I think we had somewhere between 6 or 7 years if you did a crime. But then depends on the type of crime. Yeah, it depends on the type of crime that it was. And, even there's some like, okay, well, he had a situation as a teenager. Now that was 6, 7 years ago. You had an incident of 6, 7 years ago. Okay. That we can mitigate that, or you can mitigate that, or even sometimes when we ask people to mitigate those circumstances, tell us how that came about and what resulted in it. Because sometimes after you hear the story, like, oh, okay, I can see you got just caught up in the situation. But then you have particular certain types of crimes that you don't want police officers to have in their background. You don't want somebody having in their background that they were indecent with a child. You don't want somebody having in their background that they were violent criminals that abused women. You don't want somebody like that wearing the badge, because more than likely, if they have, I'm not saying that they had the propensity at one time, they'll still have it, but if you stop and think for a second, certain crimes, if they have, if they committed murder and it wasn't in self-defense or say it was just planned out and whatever, and they may, you have to think about what kind of police officer, what character, what level of integrity, temperance does this person have to be a police officer to police your community? So even though we have some people who may want to go down and become a part of the solution, again, you, with anything, your background is going to come up under hardcore investigation and being scrupulous to guilt over what your past is and whatnot. And sometimes it's true. Past behavior indicates future behavior, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes we've evolved and we've come out of that. But there, along with background checks, there's psych evaluation that may take place. And so those things, becoming a police officer, as I've done a little research on it, it's not an easy thing. And it's not an easy thing to do, and you have to have the temperance. You have to have the mentality. It's not just about your past transgressions. You know, you have to have a certain level of temperance, a certain level of mentality, a certain level of mental, physical capabilities to do that job, because there's a lot behind it other than just a mistake I made in the past. So that's something to consider if you want to go down and apply.
Okay, that's great, that's great. And Rena, I asked because a group of guys or men, people talk from time to time. They say, well, that sounds great, but based on my background and your background, will any of us in this circle be able to be hired? And I was really surprised. I had about 20 guys we were talking, and only two of them were able to say, I think I could pass the background test. And I said, wow, that's, you know, he made a positive comment, but reality is realistically, you can't do it. But
yeah,
we do have some young men, and that's why I'm very instrumental in the lives of young men. I say, help change a life. We can't undo the things that didn't happen. But maybe by this point on, we can turn around, because it's separation. As you said, that I work in the Dallas County Jail, and I work in the Dallas County system. And so they did an extensive background check on me. Hey, I done some things when I was young. And thank God that I done it, and it separated long enough for me not to be hindered by those things. But I see young men that are just starting this life journey. I'm talking about being able to work and taking on responsibilities and being able to, they've been able to be noticed in the proper content, and they've just seen to mess their lives up. Now, to justice system, young men go to jail, and they find out that they're incarcerated the length of their time of their age, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
You 18 years old, and you get a 12-year sentence, or you get a 20-year sentence.
Yeah.
Then the young man said, I don't care. Why not? Brother, things change in a heartbeat. You know, I think so much of a show I saw some time ago was I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. When this guy got out of jail and he was dressing like he was back when he went to jail, he came out with the big hat and the big platform shoes, and people looked at him and said, wow, you something out of the past. And our young men have to face that. And then they hurt and they scared, and then they call themselves doing the same thing that they done to get incarcerated because they don't see themselves fitting in society. And it breaks my heart.
Right.
What can we do?
Yeah.
What can we do based on your understanding and your desire? What can we do to help redirect our young people, male or female, redirect our young people to be successful in society?
You know, we have to really start young, and a lot of times they're not going to teach this in our schools. But one of the things that I tell you, I have prayed about it and said, and it's a whole other show, Brother Joel, and you need to take, and I'll ask that you address it in the future. You know, with all that's going on, I have to pose this question. Maybe it's a hard question, but where is the church? Where is the church? And all
oh,
of
my
this
God,
that's
you
going
need to say that again, because when I was younger,
the church
was very important. You know, we used to go to
the
church and we'd get food and get resources, and they didn't
yes.
hold us accountable for it, but they also
yes.
was giving, and they'll let us know, hey, yeah, the church was there. The church was the community
yeah, the
safety.
Church has always
There's certain
been,
things that
yes,
didn't go on
the
at the
church.
Church. You didn't have gambling houses around the church. You didn't have dope houses around
yes.
the church. You didn't have a vacant building because people took pride. They said, it's a church here, so I
yes.
got to represent the church. I'm not going to just hang out in my front yard while
yes.
people are going to church across
yes.
the street. Yes, yes, yes. You was really saying yes. something there.
Excuse me, you hear me? Because let's be clear. I mean, the African-American community, the church has been the center of the African-American community since slavery. Let's just be real, real clear about that. And even up until the 60s, when the Civil Rights Movement started, it was the church, the organization of ministers, of pastors, Martin Luther King, James Adams, all of these ministers are the ones who got together and organized for the Civil Rights Movement. When we did
yes.
the Boy Bus in Birmingham now, it was Martin Luther King and all those preachers who got together. They pulled their monies together from the black community. They said, everybody pitch in, we'll buy cars. If you have a car, donate your car at this time. One black man owned a parking lot down in downtown Birmingham now, and that's on his car lot is where they built a makeshift a transit system or a bus station, if you will. And they brought those cars in there and they were shifts. And they got people to and fro to work and to and fro to school and to and fro to their jobs for an entire year, which forced that city to stop with Rosa Parks protests, to stop making us violating our civil rights and having us sit at the back of that bus. They did that within a year from organizing the Boy Buscott and fixing up their own transit system that would last a year that bankrupt and shut down the transit system for the city. And after that, our civil rights were met because we after that, we could sit wherever we wanted to sit on that bus. And so that's the kind of thing that the church has the power to do. And so when we ask the question, what can we do with our young folk? Okay, so we bring the Bible, Vacation Bible School, and Bible. Listen, we know that a lot of parenting has fallen off on the wayside. We got some young parents, and they want to be free and go to club with kids and all this kind of stuff. So we're going to – but if you can, if the church needs – and I'll say this right here, Nate, and people can say, hey, whatever, call in and whatever. But you know what? We sit up in those air-conditioned buildings in our nice suits and our beautiful dresses and our hats, and we – amen, and we carry on. But you know what? It's time to stop sitting up in the building and take it to the streets and get out there, the church itself, just like Martin Luther King did, just like Jesus Christ did. He didn't sit up in no temple. They got out there, and they went from community to community, and they worshiped and healed and prayed and did whatever they had to do to help the people of the land. And that's what we got to do. We got to go out, gather our young people, because we got to start with the young folk.
Yes, we do.
Because a lot of times we're older and we're just kind of jaded by a lot of our experiences with law enforcement, the things that are going on in the community, but we've learned from that. And so we ourselves can lend counseling to that. But let's gather these young folks up and say, listen, this is what we got to do to affect change.
Oh,
we have to make
true.
Them understand the importance of voting. And we have to make them understand the importance of compliance in the face of an officer, because we don't know if he's one of those officers is messed up or not.
You know what? When I was younger, I used to see how the leaders in our community was interacting with the community, how we could go and mm-hmm. we could voice our complaint to our leaders, and they'll in turn talk to mm-hmm. other people that's in authority over things, and how they actually had a care and relationship with the community. And as you were saying, I was thinking so much as when I was younger, how the community kept investing in itself. Now our money has been taken outside the community. People come in our community, and we support those businesses. I'm not boycotting business, but we ought to have businesses of our own. I drive a car. You drive a car. But if we want our tires repaired on our car, we go to someone else to do it. You know, we go to our nails done. I'm talking about a woman now. And we go to someone else done out there. And then that money that we invest in there is going across town, going on the other side of the world. You know, we only have money for a few hours once a week or whenever we get paid, that money is in our bank account until we distribute it out to someone else. And that breaks my heart.
Right.
And, you know, some time ago we were doing some community development with the Habitat. Habitat came into our little community and they were building and assisting of building homes for low-income residents. And they were right across the street from my sanctuary. And it broke my heart because if someone else comes into your house and start doing the thing that you ought to be doing, or even a part of.
You ought to be doing.
Just a part of. We don't have the resources or the connection. But you shouldn't let nobody come in there and you don't say, hey, what you doing? Hey, let me help you. Let me be a part of what you're doing. And in turn, because these people come in, they don't want to take ownership of the community per se. They want other people to take on that mantle and say, okay, we'll give you all the resources you need and give you the contact, and you just target the people. We'll certify them and we'll give you the material because you have a better relationship because you're there in the community. You know Mrs. Mary. I don't know Miss Mary, but she's willing to tell you some of the things that she – why you want to know if my plumbing works? Why you want to come in and inspect my house? You try to take my house, but if I go in there, you go in there, Miss Mary, we know you need some housework. You show me what's going on, and I know some people that's willing to help you. Miss Mary, be happy. Oh, yeah, child, look under my cabinet. I can see my backyard. But if a Caucasian come over there or someone that she unfamiliar with, she say, I don't trust you. I don't know what you're looking for. You know,
we came in and
these people was working across the street from the church. And I'm saying that because it's just like if I come to your house, you come to my house. You walk in my house and my house needs cleaning. And then you come in and clean my house. You know, that's an insult because, hey, why should I have to clean your house when you living in the house? You know, you should say, well, now, Carol, now, Joel, I take care of this. You my guest. You don't have to come and do what I should be doing.
Amen.
And that's what we done fail as a community, as
you
a church.
You can say that
we
again.
We just start letting other people come in.
Well, here's the thing. I've worked with Habitat for Humanity, and I've been on several bills myself, and laid sod and all kinds of stuff I ain't never done before. And let me say, you know, Habitat for Humanity is a Christian organization. It is a Christian ran organization, and so they go where the need is. And you're right. The thing about it, though, here's the thing. Yeah, they come in. They have organized for this. And so they go in the community. We have one here in Plano where they go, they build the church. They call it the house on the corner. So this is a large Methodist church, of course. And they have the ability to, they don't even go into the community. They build that house right there on the corner in the parking lot where everybody who drives past this very major intersection can see the work that they're doing. Those men get out there and build that house on that corner right there on their parking lot of that church and then move that house to that neighborhood. Now, that said, to your point, they coming in and doing work that we should probably have done a long time ago. But there's so much things that the black church and the black community should have done. But here's what, if we can make a start, then Habitat for Humanity will invite you or a church organization to do a build. A church
they will.
And say, they could go across the street and say, you know what, our church or congregation is interested in doing the build. We're talking about that church does the build of the next house themselves. So any church, if contact Habitat for Humanity and say, because different organizations and corporate companies do their own builds. Mary Kay had a bunch of women out there, all dressed in pink. They did a build on a house. And so you can take ownership and do a build of a house and do just what you're saying.
You can.
Go in there and build in our own neighborhood. We can go and work on bills. Anytime Habitat is working on a house, they welcome anybody, welcome volunteers. They can come, sign a waiver, and they'll get you, they'll put you to work if you can do it. But if the church has enough people to say, hey, we want to sponsor our own bill, we want to come in and do the bills or help the major, they can do that. But see, there's no, again, as our black churches and our black communities have got to get, we've got a responsibility too. We can't wait on everybody to show up and tell us. We got to get out there and find out, okay, what can we do? These organizations are doing it. What y'all do? How y'all do that? Can we carbon copy, work off your carbon copy and do it ourselves? We got to do more than sit up and have fundraisers and do nothing.
And you know that, and that is so true. That is so true. Cause I work with Habitat in Dallas, helping people help people project. And I learned that as I went to these projects, I learned how the organization was ran. I see how they had the resources, and I see how they got people. And one thing that amazes me that on these building projects, you see a whole lot of people working, and it surprised me because you don't work hard. They get more than enough people, and people come and go. It's kind of like in wave. And
yeah.
I said, wow, that's great,
yeah.
Because you go out there, you do a little something, and somebody else do a little something, and they get the job done, and it's just a labor of love.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, that's hard work. No, it's not. Because when we put together a project, I get more than enough people. If we have a three-person project, say a 10-person project, I get about 20 people. One person holding
that?
The ladder, one person painting, he comes down here, paint a whole ladder. And
hello.
That's the beauty
hello.
Of it. You need to know how these programs and businesses function so you can learn to work them to your own area,
you know
in your
what,
own facet.
And, you know,
and people
yeah.
don't realize
and you
that.
Know what, you know, Brother, we can kill 2, 3, 4 birds with one stone. When we talk about how we can work with our black children who face police brutality, we can get them in together. Get them down to the church. Talk about ways to keep themselves safe on the street. But not only that, have them come in and work on a build and let them see how
yeah.
they can make a difference in their own community by participating. And then as a part of that coming together and working on a Habitat house or whatever, we can take that time out and think about have police officers come and speak to them or we speak to each other and get on a common ground and talk to them. Unfortunately, we have to have that talk. It ain't right, but it is the way it is. You don't have to have that talk so much white kids, but you have to have that talk with our children. And so that's when we start. That's where we start. That the church, since it is the central part, it is the largest part of what makes up a black community. It is the place where we connect the most. It is the place where people, where African-American people will go first. Then, again, I call on the black church to get involved in the whole, what we do in the Black Lives Movement. I say to myself, when these young people are out there, and there were some to say they're up north when they started a lot of that, there was a lot of ministers who got out there and who tried to affect change, talk to those young African males who wanted to get violent, who wanted to do some things. They got out there and spoke to those men. Don't make the situation worse than it is, because we all know they will
yeah.
throw y'all in jail in a heartbeat and throw away the key. But
yeah, they will. They will.
Okay.
And a lot
we're
of times we already have
lives.
Some things in our background. So, yeah. Hey,
yeah.
Carol, we
we're
get ready to get out of here because we went past
sure.
our time.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we need you to wrap this here up. Cause you know what? We don't have. I'm ready to bring you on again because I love this line of
yes.
conversation. Because I definitely have a heart for it, but sometimes our patriarchs, I'm saying the men and women that went before us, they are no longer on the scene.
Right.
It's another generation
yes.
that was brought up, but somehow they got off track.
Yeah.
Let's see, our ministers are good,
yeah.
but then they got off
yeah.
track some kind of way because I think it was more so that, hey, I don't know, I'm not going to report it. I go to church, you go to church, but we know what the bottom line is. But so it's up to people like yourself and organization like we have today that's making a difference, that's willing to go out,
mm-hmm.
but they also need some guidance and some direction. And, you know, a lot of times
yeah.
people, they embed themselves in a good organization they call chaos. And it works on both sides of the fence with the police officers
right.
and the protests and marches. But we know that there is a solution that's beneficial
mm-hmm.
to both sides. And that's to coming
mm-hmm.
together,
mm-hmm.
having care one for another, and looking to the needs of each other. You know, I need you
yeah.
and you need me, sort of
yeah.
as a community. We need our police officers, and our police officers need us because we
that's
the pulse
right.
of the community. We the heartbeat of it. We the
that's
eyes
right.
of the community because when things ain't
yeah.
right, they need someone to let them know, and we need police officers that are being honest and fair. And so what
yeah.
we're going to do, we're going to do what we can. And I'd love for you to come back again and we continue this
sure.
matter discussion and even take it a little further. Because there's definitely a need of more awareness, and we need to just keep on being a hurler, keep on being a drum major for justice.
Yeah, sounds good. That's good,
Brother. Now, Carol, before
it.
We get out of here, now thank you once again. Now, tell me, now you did some history, right? Now you did the march, right? Did you go out and do a march Selma, Alabama, y'all did a reoccurrence march, right? What was that called when you went
right.
to participate?
It's called the Jubilee Festival. We,
the Jubilee
I found
Festival,
two civil
yes.
rights pilgrimages. The Jubilee Festival is held in, I believe, early March. You can go on jubileefestival.com, It every year they do a reenactment of the march over the Edmund Pettus Bridge for the Civil Rights Movement, as was depicted in the Martin Luther King movie. They reenact that every year. Every year, Senator John Lewis is there, who was the organizer of that parade. Every year, all of the King kids come there. Every year, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, celebrities, politicians, judges come there. Every year they come down. They meet at the A.M.E. Brown Church, which is where they met on that day, organized that march, got together, and marched over the Edmund Pettus Bridge, where they were met with violence at the bottom of that bridge. People don't know that John Lewis has a metal plate in his head to this day from being hit in the head when he went down there. And he had a Houston gentleman that had the trench coat on, and he is now a senator for us. If you want to get your life changed, literally, I mean, it is a beautiful experience to go there. Take the children. Make it a church-sponsored trip. Take the kids. The Jubilee Festival happens every year. There are seminars and business seminars and all kinds of things and dinners and things that happen the entire week prior to. There is a big street festival, if you will, afterwards with food and music and fashion and all kinds of stuff that goes on afterwards. There are clergy and people of all races from all over the country that come there. When I tell you, it will change your life. I've done it twice. The Jubilee Festival is a beautiful thing. I've done the Civil Rights Pilgrimage that is sponsored by SMU, my alma mater, where we go to all seven cities in 7 days and to visit all the historical places that civil rights events took place. And we address and talk about those issues and today. So if you have the opportunity, like I said, go online. There's a lot of information. Joanne Bland is an amazing activist. That was one of the foot soldiers during those turbulent times down there. And she is a wonderful woman to speak with, to have come and speak at your organization or speak in your church or to organizations. Joanne Bland, I believe you can just Google her and you come up. She is amazing, amazing speaker and has the history, can tell you everything about those times.
All right, great. I tell you what, then we love to you to come back on here at a later date and give us an update on what's going on. And keep doing what you do, okay, because it's definitely making a difference. It's changing my life.
Thank you. We got
to get together and kind of redirect the minds of our young men and women and also our community. You said some positive things there, and we just like to follow up on some of the things you said. And we conclude this interview here with Ms. Carol Reeves, a beautiful young lady, very positive, active in the community and the lives of other men and women. Thank you, Carol. This has been a great interview.
Thank you, Freddie,
for having
me on. Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. Thank you all. What a great interview that we had with Ms. Carol Reed. Amen. And you, too, have been listening to Free on the Inside Internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and challenge you. Now we have our next guest on the line this morning here. Our next guest is a friend of mine. She's no stranger to Blog Talk Radio. And every time I hear her, I'm always have some information I could use. And so the next voice you'll hear will be Ms. C. Terry. Is on the next.
Good morning,
Ms. Terry. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. God is good, and it's just good to see another beautiful day that the Lord has made.
Yes, it is. Regardless of what, it's no sun, but the Son of God is shining. The sun is still shining.
The S-O-N is still shining.
Yes, it is.
It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is.
In the rain. It's raining out here in Lancaster, so it's a good day. Anytime we can see it, smell it, and embrace it, it's a good day.
Yeah, that is so true. Thank you once again for being a guest on our program. You know, I love this type of program, this format, because, see, I could talk to people like you regardless of where you are, regardless of the weather condition. You know, you don't have to make your way to me, and I don't have to make my way to you. You're just a phone call away. That's what a friend is.
Good.
You know, you're a friend of the show. You're a friend of the program.
That's it. No, I'm a proud partner of the program. How about that?
Well, God bless y'all. You know what? We need prayer. And prayer changes that.
Yes.
Ms. Terry, introduce yourself and tell us what God have you doing. And I know some things that you want to share with us regarding being a homeowner. But there's also other things that you're also a part of. So tell us what's going on and encourage us.
Well, Okay, well, I'm Evangelist Carlin Terry, and I'm just a child of God that just want to do the Lord's work, for one. I am a member of the General Assembly Church of the Living God, 1112 South Ewing. I'm also a minister in the with the Lancaster Ministerial Alliance, and I also have my own independent ministry. The first thing that my ministry does is intercessory prayer. So, you know, if anybody feel the need to need someone to pray with, I am available. And I do some outreach, meaning that if there are those that are need referrals for housing, food, clothing, or just counseling, I'm available for that. And I'm involved with the city of Lancaster. We've been a blessing to share some Texas Rangers baseball tickets with the police department and some other departments in the community as well. So just doing a lot of great things, you know, that the Lord has blessed me to be able to do. Been referring new home buyers, first-time home buyers to some new housing programs. And then there are those who are not ready to purchase a first home. I can refer them to a housing program that's currently accepting applications. So I just try to meet the needs of every individual, because every individual's need is different.
Yes, it is. Now tell us something based on your experience. What are some of the things for a home a purchaser to get in order? First time and also a former home buyer. So yeah, I know it's two stages that you have to get. Say a first-time buyer, what are some of the things that they need to be getting up ready and getting in order?
They need to get a credit report. Try not to get themselves in debt. You know, it's a sacrifice, Minister Lewis. It's always a sacrifice. So they have to first pray and ask God to order their steps. Work on their credit, stay out of debt, and most of all, be patient and wait on the Lord. Because when you put Him first, He got a blessing out there for you. It took me a couple of years to find my house, my first house, but God was building my patience and to trust Him more. And my first house was a HUD house, and that was a good route for me to take, because I knew how much of a house I could buy, and I knew what my income was. So I just patiently, I wasn't patient all the time, to tell you the truth, but God tested my patience, and He builded my patience through the home buying process. Because when you wait on God, go through the process, He will have a blessing just for you. Just for you, because the economy is up and down. Sometimes the jobs, you know, changes, and sometimes you can't get overtime. So it's best just to try to stick as close to where you are, because it's hard. You know, people say live below your means. It's hard. You're just trying to manage what you do have. So that's my advice, just to, you know, keep down debt or no debt. Get your credit report. Go talk to an agent and a banker, and let them walk them through the process. But patience is really, really needed, and to really monitor your spending and your monthly income, because at the end of the day, you're gonna have to make sure you make that mortgage payment, and if you don't, that will stress you out. Amen.
And you know, yeah, you said something there about managing your money. How important it is to get you a good financial advisor, get you a good mortgage realtor. Because sometimes people say, "Well, I'm just going to go with this," and you know, you have to be able to realize what you can afford and what you can't. Because sometimes people say, "Well, you can afford this," and you know that you can't. So you need someone that's speaking in your best interest. How important it is for that?
Well, you know, in my experience, you have to be honest with yourself. I was a single mother. So to be frank with you and honest with you, I had to get two jobs, and I wasn't taking vacations. I was making those sacrifices. You know, I haven't really, I haven't had a real vacation yet, but God is preparing me. But it's a sacrifice because I had to do it by myself as a single mother with three children with no child support. I just had to get those two jobs and sacrifice. That's it. It's just a sacrifice. If you, you know, if you want the blessing, you have to sacrifice to get there. Or else it may take you longer to get there. And you don't ever know what the job situation is going to be. So you while you have the opportunity, you have to go for it.
Yeah, that is so true. Now you had made mention to me off the air that we was talking about how you're able to help men's young men get housing even with a background that's not too pleasing. Could you share some more of that information?
Well, I know that there is a housing agency accepting applications, but it's certain backgrounds or certain charges you can't have to apply for these houses, this housing program. So I always encourage young men to learn how to do home improvements, meaning learn how to do construction, learn how to lay floors, lay tile, do sheetrock. Learn how to do this stuff because there is always a need for contractors to do home improvements. And a lot of times those are the better job and they pay a lot more than a lot of people with degrees, you know, because the need, the demand is so great for contractors to improve homes. And so if you're good, people are looking for good contractors, you know. And it's, a lot of it's word of mouth, but those are the type of jobs where guys have made mistakes and it's hard to get back in the system are the better jobs to shoot from. One of the better. There are a lot of good jobs, but when you have, you know, a blemish on your background, I would go toward, doing some of those kind of jobs, skill jobs. Because they pay well as well, and you know, and when you get to a certain point after working with other people, you can start your own company. And I always encourage young men, Lowe's and Home Depot, they have how to do certain things for home improvements for free. They'll teach you these little short classes for free, but you have to go online and apply for these classes or either go to a community college and take air conditioning and heating and these kind of things. Those are good paying jobs. Sometimes we just have to go in another direction, you know what I'm saying? But where there's a will, there's always a way. I don't like to see none of our young men or women be discouraged because we've all made mistakes. Where there is a will, there is a way. You just have to make that sacrifice. You got to see God and go forward.
You know,
that's
I'm glad you brought that up because we always
so
think about
way,
a homeownership.
We got to sacrifice, huh?
Yes,
yeah.
It is. Yes, we do. I always think about, you know, we think about women owning homes, but men need to own homes and need to possess home ownership also. You know, they just for the women with the kids. It's also for a single man, a man that wants to make a difference, a man that's prepared to have a family. So you're saying something.
Sure. We don't
always have to move in with the lady. You know, sometimes the lady can move in with us, and sometimes we could come together up on purchasing stuff. Now, the important now, as you get ready to buy a house and you have two people, how much impact or effect do one person's credit have on another person's credit?
Well, Minister Lewis, again, two, you know, people in the same household, if they have two good credit scores, then that's going to make their home buying process a whole lot better. You know, that's just the way the home buying process is. The better your credit score, the better interest rate you can get and the lower your mortgage payment will be.
Yeah, because they combine those together. I know they do. I just want you to share that because a lot of times people say, well, she got good credit, but I'm not worried about my credit. But they basing things on both of your credits, not just his or hers.
Right. And, again, patience. Be patient, and there are people who will assist you in repairing your credit or you can call these the people that you owe debt to and make out some arrangements to correct your debt situation. So again, here's where patience comes in. You can do this yourself,
Yeah.
But if you want
true.
The blessing, then you got to go through the process to get it.
You know, that is so true, because when I got ready to purchase a house some time ago, I had a car that I bought some time ago over on Ross with a tote to note it, and that was like 6 years, and these people still had me on it. Well, you remember a car you bought 6 years ago? You still owe us a payment. The payment was under $500, but I was thrown back, and I was shocked. I said, hey, I don't even have that car no more. That was 6 years ago. But those type of things affect your credit rating.
Right. I've had a repo as well. It's been years and years ago, but after so many years, that's supposed to fall off of your credit report. And
yeah.
Minister Lewis, I've even slowed my pace down and sent in some dispute letters to the credit bureaus to have that old debt removed. And it don't take but a few minutes, just to start working on the home buying process. So it's like, instead of watching TV, just pull some letters off the website for disputing your credit and fill the information in and send it to the credit bureaus. And give it between 30 and 90 days, you should see some of that stuff start coming off of your arrangement or try to sell an account. You know, we've made these debts. We have to own up to what we've done or even disputed when it's gone by for so many years. So, you know,
yes.
God has made this situation where we can just go through the process, but it's going to take patience and it's going to take just a little bit of work.
And that's so true. Now, we're getting ready to get out of here. We got another 5 minutes. But if someone would like more information about what you had shared regarding the prayer and home ownership and just being able to manage their finance, do you have a contact number or place that you go on a regular basis where they may be able to talk with you in depth regarding some things we can't share or even have time to share at this time?
Yes. My phone number is 214-622-2878. 214-622-2878. And also, Minister Lewis, I am working with Dr. Wimbush at the Cedar Valley College. She has a male project mentoring program going from ages K through the eighth grade. And it's a wonderful mentoring program where there are men there, there's clergy. I'm going to be teaching the young men once a month on a Saturday on life and experiences and different things about life, whether it's academics, it's business, it's spiritual, and it's going to be a great time and some good snacks too. So I would like to also share that with you for those who want to have a place for their young boys to go to spiritual mentoring and some academic training and the tutoring as well. I want to share that with you. And
That's great. Now,
is this
already active or something that's going on? Is it a summer program or is it in effect right now?
It's already active, but it won't start back until October. I just want to say the month of October because we're still finalizing the dates and everything, fine-tuning some things. So it's called the Male Project at Cedar Valley under Dr. Jennifer Wimbush. She's the she just resigned from Cedar Valley. Her ending date is next week. But she's over spearheading this wonderful program, and just want to share that with you. And I know about some school supplies as well.
Please share that with us. We're getting ready for that time. I think by the end of the month, everyone should be in school now. So go ahead.
Right.
It's still not too late. Some parents need to know some information. This information.
Okay. The Church of the Living God, 2610 East Ledbetter. Right down the street from Sarah Zumwalt, are going to be giving away school supplies from 10 a.m. this morning until 1 p.m. That's, again, that's the Church of the Living God, 2610 East Ledbetter, right down from Sarah Zoom Walk and right on the same side as Carver Heights this morning.
Okay.
I hope someone can be blessed with this information.
Yeah. Now, is there anything they need in particular? Do they need to bring the kids over? How is that going to go? Can you give us some information?
If they could just bring their kids, that's all, and just come out and be blessed.
All right, that sounds great.
The kids ready to go back to school, want them to be prayed up and just ready to go in and then receive some wonderful education.
Yeah, because we want our kids to feel loved, proud to go into school because we know that they face many challenges, and we also want them to be equipped. You know, if they don't have the right supply, it's a hindrance.
Right.
And it's a hardship for the teacher and also for the parent and the kid.
Right.
And so we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for being active in the lives of God's people. We thank you for the prayers that are rendered on behalf of this program, myself, and all those that you come in contact with. Because I know that you're a praying woman. I know that your ministry is a ministry of prayer, that you're a prayer warrior.
Yes.
And so thank you once again, and I enjoy the things that you're doing. I've been speaking with you for a number of years, and I've been keeping up with you. And every time I see your number in my phone, I smile because I know that you're about our father's business. And so
thank you so much for reaching out to me.
And again, share the contact number over at Cedar Valley in case someone just coming on, and then we'll end this program.
What they could do, I'm going to look it up on my phone real quick. Just give me a second here.
Okay. And then while you're doing that, I would like to thank all our listeners for being a supportive of this internet radio program.
Okay, here's
the
number.
The
inside. Are you ready?
Go right ahead. Yes, go ahead.
It's 972-860-8180. That, again, that number to Cedar Valley College is 972-860-8180.
Amen. That's for the male initiative, right, for over Cedar Valley?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
That's God bless you. Thank you very much. As we get ready to go to sign off, we open this line with prayer, and we like to close it with prayer also. Would you please bless us with a short prayer before we sign off?
Okay, thank you, Father God, for another day that you have made. We just want to rejoice and be glad in it. Want to ask you to forgive us for all of our sins, Father God, and help us to do your will. You said in your word that you would order our steps. The steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. And we just want to do your will to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, my sister. God
All
bless
right.
you, evangelist. You have a blessed day in the Lord, and we'll be talking
you as well.
At a later
okay.
date. Amen.
Right.
You have been listening to Free on the Inside. God bless you. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Amen.
All right.